Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
So here we are once again, Mr. Parry. It's time for yet another edition of our Sparkling on the Record podcast
series. It certainly is.
We've got a lot of people asking if we can ever do a Porky quiz on one of these. And
well,
I think
maybe.
We will.
Maybe
we'll do one for the next week.
We'll have somebody standing in the corner with a gong.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if I get it right, gong.
That might be a good idea, yeah.
And if I don't, the triangle or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, you could have two noises, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, definitely.
Something like that.
Now, listen, I'll tell you what I'll talk to you about.
Yeah, go on.
I mean, obviously, Russia is very much in focus
at the
moment.
Actually, I've got a question for you before you go any further.
Sure.
Right, because a few nights ago, we'd been doing some radio work. I noticed that you were being particularly, I would say, dismissive.
Dismissive?
Of a particular film that you were watching, right?
Oh, yeah.
You claimed you were watching Spectre, right? Everybody's very puzzled because it turned out that everybody knew that that night on television, terrestrial television, I believe, this movie was actually Skyfall.
It was.
It was not Spectre.
Yeah, but I mean,
that
wasn't my
fault. So how can you get fucking so wrong?
It wasn't my
fault. Well, how can it not be your fault?
Listen, I tuned into the film minutes after it started, okay?
Yes.
It's always like the start of a Bond film, don't you? Because it's all action and then they...
It's all action and then they play the signature tune, right?
That's right, yeah.
Well, did you not hear Adele singing Skyfall?
Well, I didn't, you see. I got in after that, you see what I mean? I got into the film after that. So I'm sitting there and I was eating some nosh, okay?
Some nosh? What kind of nosh were you eating?
Fillet beef, actually.
Fillet beef?
Fillet beef, yeah, that's right, yeah.
What, you mean you cooked it?
I cooked
really?
It, yeah. Yeah, cooked it, yeah.
How
yeah.
extraordinary.
Cost £25, the piece of fillet that I got.
Why?
From Morrison's.
Why?
Well, because that's what
it
cost.
What size was it?
Well, it was quite big. I mean, it lasted me 3 days, yeah.
3 days?
Yeah.
What did you do it with?
I did it with well, I had it as a like a roast joint on day one.
Yeah,
with a lot of vegetable. You know,
you don't really want to roast a piece of fillet steak, do you?
Yes, because it's the leanest meat, isn't it?
Yeah, and then, that's not what you want for a roast beef.
And then
do
on day two, I fried it in the pan with mushrooms, which is very nice, right?
You fried it, didn't that overcook it a bit? Though?
No, not
it's
at
already
all.
Been cooked once.
No,
what do you cook it twice for?
No, not at all.
Are you
not
sure?
At all. And on day three,
by day three, you might throw it through somebody's window, be that hard.
No. On day three, because I look after it very well, I slice it up and put it in the freezer for use at a later date.
Oh, what, you mean for sandwiches or something?
No. To another you know, stir-fry type thing, you know what I mean?
All right.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
But anyway, that's not the subject. The subject is, right, so... By the way, it's a very complicated plot, all Skyfall.
Why?
Well, in the end, you know, they all go to Scotland and then all these...
Well, Skyfall is the name of the place in Scotland.
Yeah,
that's
I realised
the whole
that
fucking
later.
Point of it.
That's when I realised I was watching Skyfall, not Spectre.
What, when they saw, when they showed you the name Skyfall
that's
on
right,
the old
yeah.
Scottish mansion?
Yeah, I thought, that's interesting. Hey. Why is there a house called Skyfall in a film called Spectre?
Well... You see, is it not very clear, though, when they first... Did you check into it when they were on the island? You know, when he goes on the yacht...
On the yacht, I don't remember that bit. No, I don't know. I got into it when...
The guy with no teeth.
The guy with no teeth, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
He's on the island.
He's on the island. I don't think I saw
it's
that
It's a private island, right, that used to be full of people living on it.
Oh, right.
But it becomes deserted.
Okay.
And because something happened and they all had to leave the island.
Yeah, I saw that bit, yeah.
So, and he shoots the girl in the head.
Oh, yeah, that's not very nice, that. Yeah. But I saw all that, yeah. But I still didn't know. I thought I was watching Spectre. So I put out a tweet saying, watching Spectre.
And you said you didn't like it, didn't you?
No, I did like it. What I said was, I'm not sure Daniel Craig is really good enough looking to be James Bond. That's what I put out.
Yeah,
which you know.
People immediately were derisory of your tweet.
Yeah,
because, I mean, Daniel Craig's a lot better looking than you are.
Well, I said at his age, I think I was probably better looking than him.
No.
Because I'm a bit older than him.
Incorrect.
Now. I'm only about, you know, 12 years older than him.
How
or something
old is
like
he
that.
Then?
Well, I think he's still in his sort of late 40s or something like that, isn't he? Yeah, something like that. But well, I think he's getting a bit taller. Anyway, point of the story.
I think he's actually quite a good Bond.
Yeah, well.
I didn't like him at first.
Well, the trouble with Bond is it became sort of a bit politically correct, didn't it?
Well, not so much politically correct. I mean, it's still, it became more Jason Bourne.
That's what I mean. They tried to.
But Jason Bourne's not particularly politically correct.
No, they tried to get in all the hard action, you know, rather than the one-liners and all that kind of stuff, didn't they?
You know Jason Bourne's trying to save the world, don't you?
Jason Bourne?
Yeah, he's got himself involved with some water company.
Water company?
Safe water for places in Africa.
Sorry, you're talking about Jason Bourne or the actor?
Yeah, the actor, the guy who plays him, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, yeah.
Yeah, but he's known as Jason Bourne, isn't he?
Well, I suppose so,
I mean,
yeah.
You call him Jason Bourne.
Well, I know, he also, didn't he play the guy who played the piano?
Liberace.
Liberace, yeah. He was Liberace's companion, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I didn't
Liberace
see that
was played
wasn't
by...
Wasn't that Michael Douglas that played Liberace?
Michael Douglas? I thought it was Al Pacino. Wasn't
no,
it?
I think it was Michael Douglas.
Was it Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, look, the thing is, let's get back to what we're talking about. So,
in
Russia.
In between his visits to the sex addicts clinic, obviously.
In, I know where that was, in Tucson, Arizona, because I went there. That's right.
You're a sex addict.
Not because I'm a
just
sex addict.
Just want to make
no.
that clear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I went there when he was taken into the sex addict clinic in Tucson, Arizona. Yeah. I went over there and revealed, you know, all the inside details of the. You know, you actually have to stand up and say, my name is Michael.
Yeah.
Name is Sex Addict.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's part of the treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a 12-step program.
Yeah. But of course...
You'd know that if you'd ever gone to AA.
Yeah, but of course, the problem is, I have a lot of sympathy for people who have addictive problems, but the easiest...
Have you?
Yeah, I've
had
a lot of sympathy.
How do you normally show that?
By empathising with them.
Is
you know?
That right?
But the problem is, when you get caught shagging somebody who's not your wife,
yeah.
instead of sort of holding up your hands and saying, look, this is a terrible thing I've done, and
yeah.
I'm afraid it was lust.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep my dick in my trousers.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
she's beautiful and she wanted me, so I went for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know, I'm a Hollywood star.
Yeah, what you say is, you say, oh my God, thank God I got discovered. I've just now found out I'm a sex addict.
Yeah, right.
I've got to go and get my addiction treated, you know?
Yeah.
And then the whole of the world is supposed to forgive you for your adultery.
But it's what everybody does when they get caught out doing anything.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Don't they?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I better go and get some therapy.
Yeah, because I'm an addict.
Some, you know, I better get myself checked into rehab.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know? Yeah, I'm a gambling addict or anything like that.
Well,
you know?
That McPartland supposedly, right, is going to check himself into rehab.
Yes,
but he seems to be doing it from home. I don't know whether you could actually do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You know, I read a piece shortly after his accident saying that he was now in lockdown.
Yes, that's
inside
right.
his own house. Now, call me old-fashioned, but if you go to rehab, you have to fucking go somewhere.
You're supposed to go to the...
You don't stay at home.
What's the most famous one?
There's the Priory.
The Priory, that's right, yeah. Yeah, lots of people go there.
But, you know, you're not supposed to just hang around at home ordering in Chinese takeaway.
That's right.
And a few beers.
That's right.
And go. I mean, he's also the only guy who, when he came out of rehab the last time, gave an interview in which he said, the good news is, guys...
I'm not an alcoholic.
I'm not an alcoholic.
Fantastic, yeah. No,
well...
Yeah.
First of all, that's not a very good thing to say.
No.
Second of all, if you've had to go to fucking rehab, not a great idea to come out of rehab and start drinking again.
Well, particularly if you're in a car at the time as well, which is not good news at all.
Exactly.
But I remember there was a guy called Derek Draper, right?
And I remember Derek Draper.
Yeah, well, he was with New Labour, and he was one of their spin doctors, right?
He was the guy that ended up in the hot tub in Holland or
he
something,
was,
didn't
he? Yeah. Well, in fact, I was working at Talksport at the time, a very senior position.
Senior?
And I listened to this, and he was in a hot tub wearing a £5,000 watch.
With a couple of hookers, wasn't it?
Well, yes, that's right.
Wasn't that, was that the idea?
Well, no, it wasn't the idea at all, and for that reason, we had to desist using him, you know.
So, but, this was what a plan for TalkSport to put him on the radio, but he was doing it from a hot tub.
No, he'd done a few shows with TalkSport, and it was in the days when
You did other things,
you did other things,
right?
Not just sport, and there was a guy called. This guy used to do a late night show called Caesar the Geezer.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's heard of him.
Everybody's heard of him. Now, Caesar the Geezer used to attract, like, fantasists, nutters.
I used to
self-publicists.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
I did the overnight show.
Yeah, that's
I had
right.
a whole cast of characters.
That's right, yeah.
Who used to ring in. I used to actually, they would get, you about three of them on the phone at the same time.
All right, yeah.
And it would go for about an hour.
That's right. And one of them was that sports agent whose catchword was Monster Monster. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Eric somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Eric Hall, wasn't it?
Eric Hall, that's right, yeah. And Eric Hall was such a narcissist that I was in a taxi with him once, right? We were going to the Football Writers' Do or something at Park Lane.
Yeah.
And it was at the Grosvenor House, you know? No, it must have been the PFA one or something, but because the other one was at Lancaster Gardens. So anyway, we get out in Park Lane, and Eric turns right and starts walking up Park Lane.
He was on TV the other morning.
Was
Eric,
he?
Monster
was
Monster,
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, was he still around?
Yeah, I think so.
He had
yeah.
a very serious
well,
illness.
You know, is he?
Yeah, no, he had a very serious
he
illness.
He came
yeah.
into the radio station not that long, well, probably a couple of years ago, maybe now.
Yeah.
And I'd never met him, right?
Right.
Knew of him. I think might have had him on the show or something on the phone, but he'd never met him.
Right.
He came up to me, gave me the biggest hug you've ever seen.
Right, okay.
Oh, Mark, great to see you.
Yes.
I was going, well, it's very nice, Eric, but I didn't know him.
No, exactly, yeah. Well, anyway, so he got out the car and he turned right and started walking up Park Lane. I said, Eric, what are you doing? Because the entrance to the Grosvenor House Hotel was right in front of us, you know. And he swaggered off, you know. So I thought, that's strange. We had the tickets, you see. So I followed him. I said, Eric, what are you doing? Where are you going? I said, this is the entrance. He said, no. You know, I just like to walk around amongst the people, you know, see how many of them recognise me, you know. I said, what?
Because he was quite a flamboyant dresser, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was quite a flamboyant dresser. Anyway, point of the story is, I think Derek Draper was trying to impress those who were running what was talk radio in those days.
He emerged sort of as one of Mandelson's guys, didn't he? Did he not have to leave?
He had to leave after making the boast that I can get a cabinet minister in 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so trying to bring undue influence into this proceedings, right? Yeah.
Was it nothing to do with Mandelson's house and the mortgage?
I don't know. I don't think so. Right. I think it was the fact that Dolly Draper, as he was known, had overstepped the mark in terms of.
But do you remember was there not a guy,
influence?
Godfrey somebody, who was a businessman who had somehow
Jeffrey Robinson had somehow bankrolled. He ran the magazine.
Yeah.
He ran, I can't remember which magazine it was. Was it New Statesman, was it?
Or The Spectator, maybe?
No, it wasn't The Spectator.
New Statesman.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he had bankrolled somehow the mortgage that Mandelson had applied for.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And somehow loaned him the money for the down payment.
Yeah,
and,
he had.
And the mortgage, to all intents and purposes, although I suppose we should be careful how we put this, certainly was questioned by some as to whether there was mortgage fraud involved.
Well, it wasn't mortgage fraud. It was non-declaration.
Well,
and that's why Mandelson stepped down.
Yeah.
So there's something wrong, obviously, because he had to step down from his government post.
And he bought a big fuck-off house in Notting Hill, costing an awful lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
On what was then quite a paltry MP salary.
Absolutely. Mm. But anyway, so Dolly Draper ended up in this bath and all that kind of stuff, and it was just unacceptable because there were women of low moral fibre involved, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, so he had to go. Why were we talking about Dolly Draper? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Derek Draper, we were talking about...
We were talking about sex acts.
Oh, no, sorry. So this is about rehab and all that kind of stuff, OK? Anyway, this caused a crisis in his life. You know, the political job had gone and this had gone. And he then went into rehab.
Right.
Now, he came out of rehab, right?
For drink purposes or sex acts
Well, I think depression. I think he was getting a bit depressed about the way that life was not turning out right.
Right.
So then what happened was... He then had a second breakdown because some unkind soul in Fleet Street, wanted some information from him, you know, about something political.
Yeah.
Although he wasn't working in the political field anymore,
right.
This person on this newspaper who had, you know, been a lightning conductor for him when he was a powerful person, thought he was owed a couple of favours.
Right.
So he sent old Dolly, you know, a text or something and said, you know, can you find out for me whether this is happening, you know?
Right.
And to which someone said, you know, I don't get involved in that anymore.
Right.
So the executive on the newspaper, you know, in the kindly sort of way Fleet Street do it, sent him back saying something like, you know, look, Draper, find out, or you'll be back in the Priory sooner than you can say, you know, Jack Flash or something, which unfortunately brought on another breakdown.
Well, because did they have more stuff on him than they hadn't used or something?
Well, I've no idea, but I mean, it was certainly, you know, he had a bit of a rough time. But I empathise and sympathise with people like that.
Yes.
He is, of course, married to the beautiful Kate Garraway.
Of course.
Who is a presenter.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, he was so much in the kind of firmament at the time.
Absolutely.
Of people who were always in the news.
Well, he was always
on TV.
Like they all do.
But they all disappear eventually, don't
they? You know the guy Damien McBride, who worked in Gordon Brown's office?
Yes.
He was Gordon Brown's bruiser.
Yes.
And he and Dolly Draper got involved in trying to concoct all sorts of allegations against Tory MPs, allegedly, and all this kind
of stuff. Tom Watson was involved in some of that as
well,
because
he was
very much part of the kind of heavyweight brigade
around
Gordon Brown.
Yes, he was.
And I don't know if you saw him at the weekend, but something very odd going on with him. He's Tom Watson, he's had some kind of massive makeover, right? He's lost a load of weight.
Yeah.
He looks like he's got a new set of glasses. He's got more sort of my style glasses.
Says he's still a friend of Jeremy Corbyn, even though he's calling for his resignation.
Well, you know, he now defends Jeremy Corbyn, but more importantly, he's a very good friend now of Max Mosley. Yes, who's right. given him 540,000 quid.
That's right.
And I was saying to somebody just the other day, he seems to have spent an awful lot of money on some new clothes, some new glasses, his new regimen. Yeah. He looks like he's had a fake tan done. I mean, he looks to me like he's turning into Peter Mandelson.
Right, okay. Right?
Do you remember Mandelson when he first started had a moustache? And he had a sort of a slightly northern tinge to his
accent. Yes, he did,
because he was very much the working class Labour man.
Well, he took his constituency, he was Hartlepool.
Yeah, but the longer he realised
when he became an MP,
the longer he realised that power was the root of all evil and that he wanted some of it, he started buying more expensive clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
He started buying houses in Notting Hill.
Once
he came out as gay, and then he started talking terribly posh.
Yes,
like
that's right. He did. Yeah, he was the famous one was going into a fish and chip shop, wasn't it, and looking around.
Although again, that's meant to be a proper story.
I have some fish and I have some chips and the green stuff. Is that guacamole?
Yes.
Well, she's peas, actually, but it probably is. But he came into the Express once when our dear deputy editor, Paul Potts, was a big mate of his, you know, because Potts was very good at finding these people in the very early parts of their careers and then sticking with them, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he had the little moustache and all that, but he was a very sinister
character.
He never smiled.
Well,
you know?
I met him for the first time, funnily enough, in the office of the editor of the Sunday People.
Right.
A guy who you'll remember, a guy called Bill Haggerty.
Yeah, Bill Haggerty. Yeah, I remember Bill,
and this bloke was sitting in his office, and it turned out he wrote a column for the People because Bill had spotted him as well as an early kind of you know guy to know.
Yeah,
but he's a very curious cove. But my point about Watson is he's doing the same kind of transformation where he suddenly now looks completely different.
Yes.
He's wearing much nicer clothes. He's lost a double chin.
Well, it's his makeover, isn't it?
And he's you know obviously got a lot of money now.
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
Yeah.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Anyway, getting back to Damien McBride, right? So I started to respect the guy once I read his book after he got pitched out as well. Because he had to, they all quit in the
end. He got found out for bullying or something, didn't
Well, what normally happens is, and this happened to Fiona Hill, before she eventually committed electoral suicide by running a campaign in which Mrs. May lost her majority, right?
And had to go to bed with the DUP.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. I think we'll bring back flogging and hanging because that'll be good for us.
Just for the Catholics, though.
terrible thing to say, you know. But anyway, so what happens is the Hill overstepped the mark. Yeah. Now, in Fiona Hill's case, as you will know as well as I do, because you work with some people who used to work with her, Fiona would get incredibly pissed.
Yes. Well, that's the allegation.
I heard it from somebody who was there. Mm. She would go and get incredibly pissed, right? And then if she saw something on her phone, she would overreact if she thought it. At the time, she was assistant to Mrs. May, who was the Home Secretary.
Yeah.
And so if she saw something which was anti her boss, she'd furiously react.
Mm.
And in fact, she overstepped the mark one night by putting out a confidential letter that had been circulating between Mrs. May and the Education Secretary, Michael Gove.
Mm.
And it went public. And unfortunately, she had to stand down.
Yeah.
But that happens to them all the time.
Now, it does.
Now, Damien McBride... Mm. He got involved in all sorts of, you know, episodes in the dark arts.
Yeah.
But eventually he stepped down because, you know, Gordon Brown said, Alistair Campbell's the first to say, once you become the story, you've got to go.
Well, that's the
because
truth.
It deflects. And it happened to our mate as well on the Conservative side. Andy, he went to jail.
Yeah.
You know, once you become the
Andy
story.
Coulson,
Andy Coulson, former editor of the News of the World.
Yeah.
Once you become the story, you're out.
Well, he went to jail for perjury, though, didn't he?
He went to jail for, was it perjury?
I think so, yeah.
No, he didn't. He was tried for perjury in Scotland and he was found innocent.
That's
so I think
right,
make that clear.
Mm.
He went because of something involved in the phone hacking scandal.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right, yeah.
Now, so let's make that clear.
Mm.
Now, what I was going to say was, he then, you know, found himself. Now, what am I going to do tomorrow? I know, I'll write a book.
Yeah.
And I loved his book.
Right.
It was about what
I didn't read it.
Oh, he was. I mean, to say he was a first-class drinker is to, you know, call Alan Brazil an amateur. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just ridiculous. And He was such a heavy drinker that he shifted his working day so that he started at 10 instead of 9.
But it's a similar job, isn't it, to journalism? The problem with politics is that it's a 24/7 kind of all-consuming situation.
Yes, that's right.
Where you can never really relax.
No.
You can never really be off.
No.
You talk to anyone who's worked in the Downing Street kind of situation.
That's right.
And you're just on all the time.
That's right. You're
and if you think you can have a day off, something terrible happens.
That's
and somebody's on the phone going, what are you going to fucking do about this?
Yeah, but they love having the power to do that. That's why they stick at it 24 hours a
day.
Yeah,
true.
Because they think they're shaping, you know, government policy, they're shaping history.
No, you see, I think it's also more of a kind of, I think you get the sense that Downing Street is a kind of massive, you know, plate spinning exercise where, you know, something's going wrong over there.
It's true.
You know, oh, fuck, we better get somebody over there to fix that. Oh, look, something's over there, the other side, you know.
But these guys have invented what they call the war room now.
Yeah.
And they have like 30 spin doctors in what they call the war room, like we would have a newsroom.
Yeah.
And when something comes in from the other side, they say, right, get the environment desk to respond to that immediately. You know what I mean? And that's called the war room to hit back. But the Tories have never been very good at that.
No.
Labour were brilliant at it.
Well, Blair was Campbell. Brilliant at it.
Blair was brilliant at it. Campbell was brilliant at it.
Yeah,
Peter
but apart from that, don't forget, apart from that particular era, the Labour Party have not won an election pretty much in our kind of lifetime.
No, no, they haven't. I mean, the Tories have won more elections than any other party in the
Callaghan,
world.
Since Callaghan.
Yeah, but anyway, old Damien McBride would describe how, you know, he moved the start time from 9 to 10 because Wetherspoons opened at 9, so he could have an hour in the pub before he got to work. No, seriously.
Right. Well, we were in Westminster the other week, right?
Yeah.
And that pub, the Red Lion,
that's right,
opens at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure if you're on your way to the House of Parliament,
maybe they've changed.
Pop in for a pint.
And you wonder sometimes why the Blair government introduced 24-hour drinking. Mm. Maybe it's for some of the people who work in the Labour government.
Maybe
I mean?
That's exactly what
but,
it was for.
But,
yeah.
but anyway, and then he would even then, he would turn up in his office with 4 cans of strong lager in a plastic bag.
Right.
And, I mean, he would say that sometimes as he was taking the lager out, putting it on his desk, Gordon Brown would come through the door, he was then the Prime Minister, and not even bat an eyelid and ask him why he had 4 cans of beer on his desk.
Yeah.
He would go out at lunchtime for 2 hours to the pub, you know, on, you know, meeting people and, you
probably
know...
Probably meeting a few members of Her Majesty's press.
Well, you'd imagine so, you know, and spinning things and
putting
the boot in.
I think he came in to do a couple of things on the radio as well after he left,
And then in the evening, it was even worse, you know, he would leave the office. No, he'd leave the office about 5, but he'd come back at 7 after 2 hours in the pub, do another briefing.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
Another briefing, you know,
that's
more
right.
late night sort of shenanigans, and probably home to bed around about midnight.
He'd go out again at 8 till 10.
And then you wonder why their marriages don't work.
He'd go out again at 8 till about 10, and again he's probably in the Red Line, which is just opposite down the street.
Right.
He'd come back in at 10. Look through all the emails and things, see if anything you need
start
to respond to.
At the front pages
and that's why you get some
day.
Wild reactions late at night from these politicians. Half of them are pissed, and the people who work for them, you know what I mean?
Well, I heard a story the other day about a guy who's still fairly senior in the current government, who his favourite thing to do is to wander into his advisor's office at any time of the day, open up the fridge, which is in there, and open a bottle of beer.
Yes.
And sit down and talk to him and open another bottle of beer for the guy who's his advisor.
If you're drinking beer, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, when I first started in journalism, in Chester, the Chester Chronicle, the local MP was a guy called Peter Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter Morrison came from a wealthy...
I think you told me about this guy. He was a bit of a sinister character.
Well, he was very sinister. He came from a very wealthy family.
Yeah.
His brother was a... he was himself a barrister.
Mm.
His brother was a High Court judge, right. And he became an MP for Chester, and he rose up...
Was he from Chester?
No, they were from London.
Right.
I mean, they had...
He was a carpetbagger.
He was a carpetbagger. They had houses in places like, not Eaton Square, but Mayfair and places like that, you know. And Peter Morrison was a homosexual, but in those days you couldn't come out, you know, if you were
so
gay.
So secret homosexual.
Secret homosexual. But when I met him on a couple of occasions...
Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Right.
I didn't even know homosexuals existed when I was a 19-year-old reporter on the Chester Chronicle, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And on a couple of occasions, I remember once, there was a new health centre opened in Chester.
Mm.
And amazingly, old Peter Morrison turned up, local MP. And he got very interested in me and said, you know, you look like a very bright young man to me. If you want to come down and interview your local MP in London, you must come down and see me.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, looking back on it has all sorts of connotations.
Yes.
But I'd never been to London, you know what I mean? So, you know...
London.
Down London.
Lucky he didn't go.
Well, exactly.
Under
that's what
those
I'm
circumstances.
But anyway, the point of my story is that because in those days you were like in the closet and all that kind of stuff. It must have been a very lonely life.
Yeah.
So Peter Morrison went up through the ranks until he became, believe it or not, Mrs. Thatcher's PPS.
Is that right?
Parliamentary Private Secretary.
Right.
And he lost her the leadership of the party. He was so pissed during the time that she was trying to beat the rebellion against her.
Well, the
famous
sort of
rebellion.
Heseltine-inspired one, you mean?
Well, the one that got rid of her. The one that, in the end, you know, she came out and got
the
back of the taxi.
Heseltine was like the stalking horse, wasn't
he? Yes, he was, over the Westland and all that kind of stuff. And and the problem was that ever since then, I've read two or three books which said if she'd held her nerve against the cabinet, she would definitely still be have been Prime Minister and not John Major.
Yeah.
But Peter Morrison.
But the trouble is, though, I mean, that can't, I mean, one of the other truism about all of this politics stuff is that, you know, the Prime Minister always leaves at a time when he or she doesn't want to.
That's right.
They always stay on too long.
That's right.
And if she had stayed any longer.
Yeah.
She would have faced another rebellion,
what
I mean?
Exactly.
I think she was done.
But anyway, the point of the story was, it was so badly organised by Peter Morrison. He didn't have a cohesive policy.
Yeah.
But anyway, he then died a couple of years later.
Uh-huh.
And when I spoke to somebody, one of our political correspondents, I said, what did he die of? He said, well, he died of alcoholism, cirrhosis of the liver. And I said, were you a very heavy drinker? He said, no. He said, you used to go into his office and you could tell what time of day it was without having a watch on by how far down he'd got through the vodka bottle.
Wow.
There was always a bottle of vodka on his desk, and it was, you know, like an egg timer, how much sand has gone through.
Yeah.
That was like that every day, and he got through at least a bottle of vodka a day.
That's amazing.
So you know,
and you know, you've got a serious drinking problem on your hands if you're drinking vodka,
neat
vodka, because you think you can get away with it because it doesn't smell.
Exactly.
And it's odourless, and it's,
absolutely. The reason why, in close working proximities, that politicians drink vodka or gin, you're absolutely right, is because you can always follow it with a Fox's Glacier mint. And just run that round your mouth as though that's all you've been.
It's a terrible problem,
Jimmy.
Really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and more and more people have succumbed to it.
Yes.
Really, over
succumbed
the years.
To what?
So the demon drink.
Well, no, people have been succumbing to the demon drink for years.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is it still goes on an awful lot more than I think people realise.
Well, does it? I don't know.
I think it does.
Well, I suppose booze is now relatively cheap compared to what it was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Certainly is in supermarkets.
It's also
and all
much
that kind
more
of
available.
Do you know what I have found out? We are the luckiest generation, right? And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Where I live in Stockbroker Belt, there's a little town and there's a couple of pubs in it. And if I sometimes.
As long as you avoid the guys on the mopeds.
Surrey
seems to be riddled with.
It is. I'm telling you, I think this country's becoming lawless. When you read what happened to Simon Jordan,
whose
watch was taken off him in the street, read what happened to me, you know. And do you know what? I saw a piece in one of the papers last week in which these mopeds are one thing, but another source of terrible. Growth in crime are people who drive into wealthy suburbs. They will go over the wall, they will break into the house, even if the people are in the house.
Yeah.
They will not terrorise them to the point of we're going to kill you, but say, just tell us where your jewellery is, tell us where your watches are, and we'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
They even let them ring 999
because
they know it sometimes takes 12 hours for the police to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I'm reading this, you know, aghast.
But see, again, because we're relatively law-abiding citizens, and by relatively, I mean we are law-abiding citizens, I mean, where do they offload all this stuff?
Well, I've no idea.
I mean, have you ever been to any of these? Because you remember when I had my shirt stolen?
Yes.
Which is one of the more bizarre crimes that anybody's ever done.
Yes.
We discovered that, and somebody told me, if you go to some of these markets, like they've got what used to be old Church Street Market, which runs between, like, Marylebone and Edgware Road.
Yes.
Which is kind of just where proper old-fashioned market traders operate.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
You could go to a place like that and buy shirts like mine that are in cellophane from the cleaners, but second-hand, for a fiver
right.
or for a 10 quid.
Right.
I presume all this knock-off jewellery must be going somewhere.
Well, I don't know. I've no idea. I wonder where Simon's watches ended up,
well,
you know?
I mean, it's not exactly something you could walk into a jeweller's. I mean, if you walk into a jeweller's with that watch and go, oh, how much will you give me for this? They're going to call the cops.
Well, won't it end up in the Middle East or something like that? Because it's such a valuable piece
of
jewellery.
But this is what I'm saying. I don't know who buys this stuff.
No, I don't know.
Because, I mean, nobody's ever offered me any stolen goods. When I used to work in that bakery as a kid, and the cops were always in and out getting free cakes and all that. There used to be some interesting things coming through the door, but I don't know how that happened.
No.
You know? But there would all suddenly be, I don't know, a load of bottles of champagne, or bottles of this, or you know, there would be sort of loads of things.
Yes, very interesting.
Which must have been, you know, falling off the back of a lorry.
But getting back to what I said about these towns, any town you go into now, if you go into a couple of city centre pubs, you will find a group of men of our generation sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
Watching Sky Sports with a newspaper in front of them, doing a bet
right.
to for the pub neck for right. the betting shop
next door.
They're
probably divorced men, right?
What? They're retired men. This is the whole point.
Yeah, but I bet a lot of them are divorced.
Well, they probably are divorced. Now, there's one guy I know. Right, here, in one place where I get the train, there is a pub next door to the station.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly or not, it's called the Railway, okay? Right.
Now, as indeed many of them are.
And many of them are. So sometimes.
Save the time, by the way.
Yeah, well, just very quickly, right? Yeah. So sometimes if I'm getting the train, but I've got 10 minutes to go, I will nip in there and have a quick pint, right? No problem at all.
Right.
There's a chap who is of Scottish descent who is always there,
right.
sitting at the bar in a high stool.
Yeah.
He chats to the bar staff, and then his mate arrives and sits in another stool, then maybe a third one.
Yeah.
And I've noticed sometimes in the reverse journey coming home, they all put the coat on and go home at 6 o'clock.
Right.
It's like a job.
Yeah.
They get in there at 9 in the morning,
right.
they leave at 6 at night, they don't look particularly inebriated.
Surely they can't be there 9 hours a day.
I'm telling you, man, it is like a job.
Really?
And everywhere I go, last time I was in Chester, and I went to a pub in Chester before going to a game at Everton, I saw another collection of men doing exactly the same.
Really?
And it's because we were allowed to buy houses, which are now worth 10 times what they were then.
Mm.
We were able to live in a pension world where they're drawing pensions and all that.
Yeah.
And there is a huge army of men in this country who simply have enough to exist on without working, who sit in pubs all day. And I'm not talking about the unemployed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those
whose
working lives are finished. They looked okay. They look okay. They're not, you know, I mean, how do you define well-dressed?
Well, I mean, are they smart-looking, or do they look as if
they're not scruffy-looking. Right. They don't look, you know, they haven't got, like, dirty black fingernails.
They're not the great, as you would call them,
the great unwashed. They're not great unwashed. I don't remember.
Do they sound articulate?
Well, I don't listen to their conversations. They talk amongst each other, you know, talk about the normal things.
Yeah.
I mean, to put it bluntly,
you remember we went into a pub in the Cut one time?
Yes.
After a show that we'd done at Talk Sport.
The Cut,
and, and it was there was a bunch of men in there who were ghastly characters who wanted the horse racing on.
That's right, when we
and
wanted
they
the
were
football.
Not what I would have called people who would appear to have had property.
No, they were chavs.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, that's right. These guys are not chavs. These guys have entered their 60s. They've come, you know, for instance, they might be like retired firemen who retire at 55 years of age, or retired policemen, or retired National Health Service workers, or something like that.
Right.
You know, decent people, normal people, but who are able to live on a pension sufficient to be able to buy 4 or 5 pints a day and sit in the pub with their mates and talk.
Mm.
That is a new breed of person in this country, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, you may well be right.
I have ambitions to join them.
Well, I mean, you're halfway there already, aren't you? Because you spend most of your time in the pub.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I'd like to spend all my time in the pub.
How many pubs have you been in today?
Only one with you.
Just one?
Just one.
And how many pubs will you be in before the end of the night?
Well, it'll be more than one.
This is on the record.
The problem is, when you get caught shagging somebody who's not your wife, instead of sort of holding up your hand and say, look, this is a terrible thing I've done, and I'm afraid it was lust.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep my dick in my trousers.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
she's beautiful and she wanted me and so I went for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm a Hollywood star.
Yeah, what you say is, you say, oh my God, thank God I got discovered. I've just now found out I'm a sex addict.
Yeah, right.
I've got to go and get my addiction treated, you know? Yeah. And then the whole of the world is supposed to forgive you for your adultery.
But it's what everybody does when they get caught out doing anything.
Exactly,
now, don't they?
You know,
I'm going to go and get some therapy.
I know where that was, in Tucson, Arizona, because I went there. That's right.
Not because you're a sex addict.
Not because I'm a sex addict.
Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, exactly, Peter Morrison was a homosexual. But in those days, you couldn't come out, you know, if you were gay.
Secret homosexual.
Secret homosexual. But when I met him on a couple of occasions.
Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Right.
I didn't even know homosexuals existed when I was a 19-year-old reporter on the Chester Chronicle, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And on a couple of occasions, I remember once, there was a new health centre opened in Chester.
Mm.
And amazingly, old Peter Morrison turned up, local MP. And he got very interested in me and said, you know, you look like a very bright young man to me. If you want to come down and interview your local MP in London, you must come down and see me. And of course, you know, looking back on it, it has all sorts of connotations.
Yes.
But I'd never been to London, you know what I mean? So, you know.
London?
Down London.
Lucky he didn't go.
My name is Michael.
Yeah.
And I'm a sex addict.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.